Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Summer doesn't officially get here till Thursday, but it'll feel like mid-July from the Midwest to the Northeast.
It is almost unbearable.
That woman's in Detroit, where an excessive heat warning is in effect. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
We'll have way more than three consecutive days in a lot of parts of the Northeast. Pittsburgh may have its longest stretch in 30 years. But writ large here, even where you don't necessarily have the 90-degree temperatures continuing for a week or more, you still have this dome in place, and it looks to be locked in there for a good long while.
Firefighters in Los Angeles are making progress on the state's largest wildfire of the year. The flames northwest of L.A., now 20% contained. CBS News Los Angeles, Jasmine Veal is in Gorman.
This wind-driven wildfire burned up vehicles at this auto repair shop in Gorman Saturday afternoon. Jonathan Martin arrived with his heavy equipment to help the owners clean up.
I was mildly concerned for this town. It's a tiny town that it's pretty catastrophic when you have a fire like this. Tire company lost all their stock. So I'm here to help clean that up and get them going again.
This morning, the Biden administration announced sweeping new protections for hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrants married to U.S. citizens. It'll allow them to apply for permanent residency and eventually citizenship if they've lived here for 10 years and married by yesterday. A federal judge has temporarily blocked Iowa from enforcing an immigration law that makes it a crime to enter the state after being deported or denied entry into the U.S. Lisa Graybill at the National Immigration Law Center.
Judge Locker notes that as a matter of politics, the Iowa legislation might be defensible, but as a matter of constitutional law, it is not.
The Boston Celtics make history.
Number 18 has been secured.
They've won a record-breaking 18th NBA championship, beating the Mavericks 106-88 in Game 5 on ABC. WBZ's Drew Mulholland with the fans in Boston.
Getting a little rowdy out here. I'm standing next to
Moses,
you have a good time tonight?
Oh, yeah. This is the best time of my life.
You're from Boston, diehard Celtics fan. How electric is this crowd out here?
This is just unreal, you know. A long time since we won the 08 championship, being here in the crowd, seeing people get fun, crazy. It's just, this is the time of my life.
New study from Tufts shows too many of us still eating too much junk food. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Researchers did find some improvements over the past 20 years, with consumption of nuts, whole grains, and proteins rising. Gains in dietary quality were highest among younger adults.
S&P futures are up one. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Big Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ann Jacobs, newly elected chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has voiced her support for criticized elections administrator Megan Wolf. As Wisconsin's top election official, Wolf had been the target of criticism since the 2020 presidential election. Supporters of Donald Trump accused Wolf of election fraud, and Wisconsin Republicans failed to impeach her earlier this year. Jacobs spoke to WISN-TV's Upfront.
Megan Wolf has done an outstanding job, and the idea that we would not have her be our administrator because people believe in conspiracy theories is not how you run good government.
Both Jacobs and Wolf will oversee the presidential election in Wisconsin in November. A heat wave has rolled into Wisconsin. Temperatures are expected to be in the low 90s in some parts of the state Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with heat indexes in the high 90s. Thunderstorms are also expected this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in Anaheim. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing last night to the Angels 5-3. Milwaukee starting pitcher Carlos Rodriguez giving up those five runs, four earned. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
That's his second major league start.
Do you feel like he took a step forward tonight, though, Murph?
And I think he's going to be a good pitcher. There's no question about it. But you got to have fastball command. You got to be able to throw the fastball in the zone when you want to. The leadoff walk to Adell there is, you know, unnecessary. And then what happened after that? It's just got to control it a little better. But, yeah, I think he's going to be very good.
Basketball, the Boston Celtics are the NBA champions. They beat the Dallas Mavericks 106-88. Former Buck Drew Holiday now has his second championship ring.
They really embraced me when I first got here, and they made this game super easy. But the fans here are insane, man. I didn't expect it to be like this. I love you, guys.
That's the Celtics' Drew Holiday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 80s, and winds out of the south up to 25 miles per hour. An afternoon storm possible. Mostly clear tonight, low to mid 70s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high near 86. Some showers and storms Thursday, 79.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday, join me and my good friend Sandy Williams for our regular conversation. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Nice to have you here. It's another beautiful day to have you up north. 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 18th. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, watching us on social media, video, or listening on demand by podcast. It's nice to have you along on this Tuesday morning. I got a question for you. What are the little luxuries that you treat yourself to? Not saying you do it every day, but every so often you're like, okay, I can spend a little bit extra on this. What is it? Is it that cappuccino that you get just once a week or once a month? Is it the, you know, the bottle of wine instead of the box, as the case may be? And what luxuries, what big luxuries would you add to your life if you suddenly had some serious big bucks? We're talking like Powerball money. And I ask all this because it's National Splurge Day. And so this seems to be a good way to, you know, ask what would you splurge on if you could. You've been using that Civic Media app extremely well to text us. So that's what we want you to do today is send us a text or text us at 855-75-CIVIC. And let us know what little luxuries you have in your life and the big ones you'd like to have on this National Splurge Day. Also coming up this morning, our social media manager, Sharita Booker, will tell us about the more popular social media posts where you find Up North News. Also, we'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly in. She was a little tied up yesterday, so we've got her in today to talk about how the people who are against women having the right to make a choice in their healthcare matters are now showing themselves to be against the voters' rights to make a choice when it comes to medical care and what to enshrine in things like state constitutions around the country. We'll also talk to Chad Holmes to preview what he's talking about on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And we do all this with Greg Bach taking this week off. Brittany Merlot is off, so I'll give you a little weather summary in a second here. But pinch hitting for Greg Bach is somebody who has decided to make me a guinea pig, a lab rat. From the Waukesha studio, but christening brand new Studio A2 in Madison. Please welcome Luke Mathers.
You missed
Luke
it. Mathers. Just as we started, I took the champagne bottle and I just cracked it across the desk. I really hope the engineers don't get mad at me for that. But yeah, we're all set for the maiden voyage.
How great would that be? Tell the engineers to come clean the champagne and the broken glass out of the board. But it's
no,
there.
I did it away from the board. I did it far enough away.
Good.
Yeah, it's not too big of a mess. We're all right.
So it's definitely a brand new studio in that it very much has the appearance of a walk-in closet. There's nothing on the walls.
We're working on it.
you a table and a microphone, but it's there. You're there.
I wanted to make sure it worked first before we get it all decorated and everything.
And so. How nice of you to invite me to be the guinea pig for that at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, but you know, when this when the whole thing got started, Pat, when we as Civic Media came on as a network, you know who the first voice on the network was?
Who would that be?
That would be yours.
Oh.
So, well. See, I just thought it was fitting to, you know, test out a new studio. We'd use Mr. Pat Kreitlow.
Check it out. If we butter up Kreitlow, he'll let us be the lab rat, you know. We can test this thing out. For those who wonder, because we talked, those of you who've been here from the beginning know about, you know, the growing pains of a new network. It's very exciting, expanding, but we, you had the studios there on University Avenue and then moved to these lovely new facilities at the top of State Street, just off Capitol Square. But the network has grown in such a way that one main studio in Madison isn't enough. There's now multiple networks because different shows air on different stations. So there's an A network, there's a B network. And now for those of us on the A network, we need another studio. So there's A2 out there in Madison. And I, for one, think it's very cool. I'm very excited about this because I have dreamt of this for 20 plus years of having a statewide news and talk network. And it's so great to watch everybody putting it together now.
Well, I'm a little terrified, Pat, because now that it works, this A2 studio means that they can just, you know, leave me in here and make sure that I can produce from anywhere for any show across the entire network. So I'm very terrified. Yes. There's going to be a cot put up in the corner so that I can just, you know, I live here now. This is my home.
That might be the case, but in that case, you know, look at what you get to do because you're married now. So you have a very respectable residence in Sun Prairie. If you have your own little pad there, your own little man cave, I expect some of your old stuff will come back. The old beer posters will be up on the wall behind you there that you had in your dorm room. Maybe some of your Eagle Scout badges you'll be displaying. So I'm looking forward to you truly making this your own. And then HGTV will come in and do a complete makeover with any luck whatsoever.
Yeah, little Room Raiders, yeah. MTV.
Yeah, we could totally do that.
There we go.
Did you how much of the Brewers game did you catch before your earlier bedtime this week?
I saw the Angels take the lead over us. So I think it was 3-2 when I went to bed.
Okay. It was just the second inning for me, and Ryan Braun was on because Ryan Braun lives out in L.A. there now. Oh. So he made a guest appearance in the booth with a couple of his youngin' kids. Nice to catch up with him, find out what retirement is like. And it turns out that the Brewers have a few different Southern California natives on the team. And a couple of them did fine during the game. Let's see, there was Jake Bowers. He's from the L.A. area. Bryce Terang. He's from the L.A. area. Each one hit home runs in front of familiar faces in the crowd. So apparently what we need to do is uproot their families and bring them to Milwaukee. Or go on the road, whatever.
I would say, I think we should just send them on the road. The record at home is pretty good this year so far.
Yeah. Brewers still occasionally have trouble with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. They had three runners in scoring position in the final three innings, but couldn't score them. Let's see. William Contreras, or I remember he got his bell rung in that exciting game-ending play on Sunday. He did clear concussion protocol on Monday, but he was out of the starting lineup for only the second time in Milwaukee's 72 games so far. They said he would be available to pinch hit, so I think it was just a well-deserved little time off. The Brewers will start tonight's game with rookie pitcher Tobias Myers, who is 3-2 on the season and has won his last two starts. Again, 8:40 first pitch, pregame at 8 on News from the Center and Richland Center, WRJN and Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. I wanted to ask you as well, before I do, I want to remind folks that tomorrow is a federal holiday. Tomorrow is Juneteenth, and we'll talk more about the reasons for the Juneteenth holiday, but wanted to give you that heads up. I remember reading something last night about there being no mail delivery and thought that might be a really good and important thing to pass along to folks. Are you much of a griller? I can't remember if we talked much about your because you love cooking so much, and you love food shows so much, and you're a Boy Scout, so you've probably cooked more stuff over a fire than most of us will in a lifetime already.
Probably. That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Mm-hmm. But what do you have at home, charcoal or gas?
I have both.
Oh, you have both.
I have.
You are such a Boy Scout.
Well, why force yourself to choose only one, Pat? That's what I say.
Okay. I agree. If that's what you want, guess what? It's National Splurge Day. You get to have your little luxury. Ooh. Your little luxury is, you know, both gas and charcoal grills.
If I could get good a smoker, you. that would go on that list of splurge. Like, if I could take the next tier up, I would love to splurge on a smoker.
Oh, it's got to kill you to hear when I talk about how I got a charcoal grill from one of my daughters for Christmas, and they thought the attachment on the side was like for side dishes and things, but no, it's a smoker. So I have a smoker that I don't use. I've used it once just to experiment with it, but
and you didn't like it? It was a failure or not a success?
No. I don't have the patience. We've talked before about how my dad, when we were both fishing and hunting, sent me back to the truck. Or took the boat back to shore.
Are you just like tapping your fingers the whole, like you're just tapping your leg the whole time?
Talking,
or what?
Can't talking? Stop oh. talking, or got to go do this, got to do that.
That's the great thing about a smoker. You put it in there and you go do the other things. You don't have to sit there and watch it.
If I go do the other things, at some point I'll go, what am I smelling? And it'll be my house burning down because I completely forgot about the grill and it just completely got out of hand.
It's so a smoker, not a flamethrower.
I'm just saying it would, you know, it would just be my luck that would happen. I don't want that. We talked briefly about the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, but I wanted to give proper due to the winners. There were a couple of grand prize winners, Tori in Kewaunee and Tammy in Baraboo. We also had many Wisconsin Dells prize package winners that included Mike in River Falls, Kay in Baldwin, Brenda in Richland Center, Jean in Lac des Flambeaux. And there were plenty of Brewers club level tickets, including Julie from Oliva. How great is that? We got a listener in Oliva. And also Brody from Richland Center. Have you used any of the station's Brewer tickets yet for the club level?
I was there on, that's how I went to the game.
Oh, that's right. You went on Sunday. That's right. You were there. Yep. So you can vouch for these are good tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just saying that to get people jazzed up for, I don't know when we're going to do giveaways next, but when we do, take it from Luke Mathers. These are good seats.
They're great seats. And yeah, we've got the Brewers coming back to town after this West Coast road trip that we're going to have some tickets, I think, to give away to the Rangers series next week. So you're going to want to stay tuned.
Okay. Well, we will. We will stay tuned to that. Before I got distracted on the two kinds of grills, I was just going to ask if you had a particularly good recipe for chicken on the grill, like, you know, charcoal chicken or something like that. Do you are you more of a brats and burgers kind of guy on the grill?
More brats and burgers typically, but I like a good like marinated like teriyaki or some. I'm a big fan of the Asian kind of variety of flavors. So a nice Asian marinated chicken skewer or chicken breast, delicious. Delicious.
Oh yeah, yep. I've been to enough places, you know, the charcoal chicken dinners, you know, where you just open up the foil and it's just so perfectly cooked, and I'm always like, I feel like I'm missing something because I've not done that and I want to do that, so that's like my next thing. But maybe I should actually fire up that smoker. I don't know.
There you go.
What would you make on there if you had a smoker tomorrow?
Oh, some smoked wings right away. I'd go get the chicken wings and I would smoke the wings.
Okay. That maybe that's my project
there
over 4th of July. We will see about that. When we come back, we'll unpack some of the news, including the Enbridge pipeline that runs through northern Wisconsin, also runs through part of Michigan, and there's some news on that. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to take up the case of the 400-year line item veto. That and more just ahead, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday when you're here. You're up north. Sherita Booker, our social media manager, is next as we tip our cap to Paul McCartney on his birthday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Check, check, 1, 2.
These sounds can only mean one thing. It's Summerfest!
Milwaukee!
600 artists, 12 stages, one epic lakefront. Don't miss three unforgettable weekends of music, June 20th through July 6th. Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance. Find tickets, lineup, and more at summerfest.com.
Flood risk can change over time, and a community's flood insurance rate map shows how those risks could affect you. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has developed preliminary flood insurance rate maps for Washington County. FEMA also provides an appeals process for anyone with information that may change their flood hazard determination. To view maps, find a property's risk level, and details on the appeals process, please visit dnrwi.gov and search Washington County Flood Maps. This message is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and FEMA.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back. We're joined now by Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News. Find her posting of all of our work from the whole Wisconsin team and some of our national team and some freelancers. She just takes it all in and puts it in just the right format on just the right platforms. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, as we look at some of the more popular posts of the past week, again, a lot of Instagram, some Facebook, you know, there's a little Twitter and TikTok out there, but as we look at the posts overall across all platforms, it's a little bit more newsy this week compared to other weeks when we have more, you know, food or sports or whatnot. But it kind of makes sense when you consider what the stories are. The first one, of course, is the former president of the United States, thinking he's talking to a room that's kind of got a private meeting with House Republicans. And he makes a crack about Wisconsin's largest city, and it didn't sit well with folks. Sherita.
Yep. Trump called Milwaukee a horrible city during a meeting with House Republicans to discuss campaign strategies, and that got tons of backlash from Wisconsinites and President Biden. Senator Tammy Baldwin said Milwaukee makes the greatest beers, rods, and motorcycles in the world. It's home to some of our most vibrant communities, hardest workers, and it's part of what makes Wisconsin the best state in the nation. Donald Trump would understand that even if a jury told him so. And Biden also said if Trump thinks Milwaukee is horrible, then he shouldn't come here. That post had more than 1,000 likes. In the comments, Kevin said, just spent 3 days at the Drury in downtown Milwaukee and had a fabulous time. I've been all over the world and Milwaukee is one of the greatest cities I've ever visited. People need to get out more and explore. Kelly said, the kindest and friendliest people I've had the pleasure of meeting are in Milwaukee. The city is vibrant and wonderful.
There is a comment here as well, and I'm sorry Greg Bach is off this week because he'd appreciate it because he loves the comedian Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso, of course, who plays Roy Kent. But Brett Goldstein in real life, while he's foul-mouthed, as Roy Kent, but he is a sweetheart. And he was doing a comedy bit in Milwaukee. Greg had gone to go see it. And he was supposed to do a segment where you make fun of whatever local city you're in. And I can't use his exact words, Sherita, as you can imagine, but he was like, blank. I can't think of anything bad to say about Milwaukee. I thought I would have lots to make fun of, but this place is blanking beautiful. And it's great that people notice that because, again, the people that complain the most about it appear to be the ones that know less about Milwaukee. So I'm very happy to see these comments.
Yeah, same. And this is my hometown, my home city. We love it here. It's beautiful. There's tons of things to do, especially in the summertime. So I don't appreciate that either.
No, it's a gorgeous place. So many things to do. It's a city, kids. It's a city. Of all the reactions, you read a few of them, but our second on our list of most popular posts was the congresswoman for that area, Gwen Moore, who has never been accused of being a wallflower. And so she got her own post with her reactions.
Yeah, of course, she came to Milwaukee's defense as she spoke on MSNBC. She said, I don't know many people in Milwaukee who have 34 felony counts against them. So our crime rate sure is going to go up when he joins us in Milwaukee in July. And that post had almost 400 likes on Instagram. Patty left a comment and said, I love Gwen Moore, salt of the earth, always says it straight up. And Christopher said, I think he should be arrested as soon as he lands in Milwaukee for his role in trying to provide fake electors in the last election, along with Ron Johnson.
don't think that hasn't occurred to me that, you know, if I were Wisconsin's attorney general, if not arresting, then maybe at least, you know, serving papers or something. And I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened yet in some of these other states. I mean, Trump has a way of just inviting people up on stage, you know, so all somebody would have to do is wear a, you know, goofy Trump shirt. And when they, you know, act funny enough and get up on stage, you know, hand them his subpoena or whatever the case may be. And just count on Gwen Moore always for just the perfect reaction on it. And then our third story is also political, but again, frankly, it's that time of year. There's a lot to react to, and folks are still reacting to the news that a couple of weekends back, Senate candidate Eric Hovde was advertised that he was going to be in Oconto County, but he was in the wrong OC. He was actually in Orange County, California, back on Laguna Beach.
Yeah, he's always giving us something to talk about here. Yeah, he's seen laying in the sun, enjoying the beach, playing hooky when he's supposed to be here in Wisconsin. That post had more than 5,000 likes. Sarita said, showing how much he cares about the people in the state he supposedly wants to represent. And Shane said, why is a California resident running for a seat in Wisconsin? And why do we keep expecting anything less than BS from everyone in the GOP?
And then there's M. Ross, who says, sounds like Dr. Oz when he tried to run for Senate in Pennsylvania. Plenty of carpetbagger comments in here as well. To his defense, Newberg writes, what's the problem with this? Are Wisconsin residents against owning homes in other states? I don't see a problem with this, even though he does vote Democratic. And I don't think it's, he's got a second home, or some would say a first home, you know, in Laguna Beach. That's not the point. The point is that he has spent so much time there and is so well known there that, you know, if you're going to spend time there instead of campaigning, it appears, Sarita, folks are going to notice.
Absolutely. And you made a commitment, stick to it. I think that just shows what it's going to look like in the future if he were to win. So not looking good for him.
I would think to bring back Joe Zepecki's comment from last week, Thursday, that just might be, well, if he was smart, that might be the last time he's in Laguna Beach until after November. You know, for his sake, he would think to pack up and take stuff to Washington, D.C., or like Tim Michaels going back to Connecticut, you know, just to go back and lick your wounds. But if you're smart, Eric Hovde, you've got a place in Wisconsin. Hang out there while you're running for a seat in the Senate from Wisconsin. Yep. Sarita Booker, social media manager for Courier Newsroom. Sarita, thanks as always. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Pat.
Temperatures around the state look like this. It's 70 here in Chippewa Falls, 67 in Hayward. Park Falls at 69, Wausau 68. Green Bay reporting 66 degrees, Wisconsin Rapids 71, Oshkosh 75, Madison 77, and it's 72 in Waukesha. There is a hazardous weather outlook for portions of east central, south central, and southeast Wisconsin, with heat index values in that area between 95 and 100 this afternoon. Further, there is a high swim risk today for beaches in Sheboygan and Ozaukee counties. Life-threatening waves and currents on Lake Michigan are expected. Stay out of the water. Stay away from dangerous areas like piers and breakwalls. And frankly, the entire coast of Lake Michigan in eastern Wisconsin, use extreme caution and just stay out of the water. Hot and humid conditions will continue into Wednesday. In western Wisconsin, it'll be another hot, humid day for the region. Heat index values 90s to near 100. There will be another round of showers and thunderstorms here in the west later today and into this evening. A few severe storms and heavy rain are possible, and then additional rounds of showers and storms will arrive late Thursday into Saturday, so be mindful of the potential for flash flooding and for river flooding as well. You can stay in touch with what we're doing at Up North News by signing up for our newsletter, Unabashedly Wisconsin News, that you can find at upnorthnewswi.com. You'll find my article there on the economic promises being made by Donald Trump versus President Biden. Also, what are Wisconsin's most valuable crops? And who makes the most outrageous Bloody Marys in the state? Again, sign up for the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. More headlines after Pam Yonke's Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
As we deal with heat and its impact on our animals around Wisconsin, technology may give us some relief. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I'm not talking about technology like fans or sensors or anything like that. Instead, I'm talking about gene editing. The Red Angus Association is trying to use more gene editing to promote herd health. Tom Brink is the CEO of the Red Angus Association.
A lot of us are trying to figure out exactly what is the right way to handle this new technology and to potentially bring some of those animals into our database. We have decided at Red Angus that we're going to look at this new technology basically one gene edit at a time, and each one will be evaluated on its individual merit. Right now we have approved two gene edits within the Red Angus registry, and that would be for the slick gene, which is naturally occurring, and also the black to red gene edit, which is certainly naturally occurring as well. And so we have some of those animals, a very small number, but we have some of those in our registry already.
Tom Brink, CEO of the Red Angus Association, he says the black to red gene edit they can do with this technology actually helps keep animals healthier when the temperature climbs. As the temperature climbs around the upper Midwest, markets are climbing higher on a Tuesday morning. Numbers are next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
On Monday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2 cents to $2 even. 40-pound block cheese was down 5.5, 191 and a half. AA butter, that gained a penny and three quarters to 310 and three quarters per pound. This morning, December corn is up two at 464. November soybeans currently 3 cents stronger at 1133. July wheat, that's down a penny right now, 590 a bushel. The class three milk that goes into cheese for July down a dime, 2007 a hundredweight. The August milk contract down six, 2066 a hundredweight. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 80s, and winds out of the south up to 25 miles per hour. An afternoon storm possible. Mostly clear tonight, low to mid 70s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high near 86. Some showers and storms Thursday, 79.
Right now, 71 degrees.
At Fleet Farm, we know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday fishing gear from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
WAUK is excited to see you at the Waukesha County Airport this Friday for another Food Truck Friday. This week is sponsored by Spring City Aviation. Enjoy some great food from Romero Taco Truck and the Sandwich Sisters. Grab some grub from the food trucks right on the ramp at Kreitz Field. It's a fun lunch break and something just a little different to kick off the weekend. Come experience some great local food trucks and spend some time at the airport with 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel commentator James Causey for our newest segment. What's on your mind, James? Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Well, more to say about Sir Paul McCartney's birthday in today's history lesson coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on this Tuesday morning, June 18th. Nice to have you along. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us in a little bit as well. When she said, what are we going to talk about? I said, well, let's see what's new on when it comes to women's health care rights. And I found one story about them under attack, and then another, and then another, and then another. And when I got to five, she said, stop. We'll have enough to talk about the ongoing effort to try to allow women to have a say in their own health care. To that end, Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer was in Wisconsin campaigning for President Joe Biden in Wisconsin, joined by Governor Tony Evers. They were part of a panel that focused on women's reproductive health care rights, a signal that abortion rights will be key to Democratic messaging in these battleground states. And there's a reason for that. It's because the public is on their side and does not want right-wingers getting between women and their doctors. Governor, important, and all the more reason for her to be here. Mr. Mathers, as I talk about Governor Whitmer here, I'm getting a little weak signal from the Wi-Fi. So if you're watching reruns of the Mickey Mouse Club or whatever down there, you got to knock that off. It couldn't possibly be at my end.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it could be at my end. I don't know. What? You mean I can't be streaming Netflix at the same time over here?
I wouldn't recommend it, Pat, but, you know, I'm double checking to make sure that's not on my end.
The funny, we learned this from the pandemic, is that when you have two spouses that are working from home and they both have, like, video conferences going on,
It's
like, maybe one of us will use the cell signal instead of the Wi-Fi. Anyway, he continued on, noting just in case you hear any drops in the signal here, in case we have a Wi-Fi issue. Anyway, Evers made the point that former President Donald Trump selected anti-abortion rights justices for the U.S. Supreme Court, and that Wisconsin had its own battle over reproductive health care over an 1849 statute, where Evers said for more than 400 days, women were at best second-class citizens. And in fact, while in Michigan, they have actually codified abortion rights into their state constitution 2 years ago, the legality of the 1849 statute is still pending in the courts. Also, involving Governor Evers and the state capitol, recall how there was a man who showed up at the capitol armed and demanding to see the governor. And then he came back. And now that man who twice brought guns to the state capitol has pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor. Prosecutors accuse Joshua Plesnick of coming to the capitol last October 4th. Demanding to see Evers while armed with a handgun, he was arrested, posted bail, came back that night with a rifle and a baton hidden in his backpack, again demanded to talk to Evers, but the building was closed. Plesnick, now 44, pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 30 days in the Dane County Jail with work release privileges. He said he thought it was legal to openly carry a weapon in a public building and had no intention of hurting anyone. Okay, so the system worked, thank goodness. He twice was caught before he could do anything rash, stupid, or deadly. But the whole notion of him being allowed to plead to a misdemeanor for something like this, I think sends just the wrong message. We hear a lot in Wisconsin that we are behind the curve when it comes to other states on the issue of drunk driving, for example. That this is increasingly one of the few states where your first drunk driving does not result in, you know, say a night in the county jail, or at least the threat of jail time upon conviction, that the laws are rather lenient. I would argue the same thing could be said in something like this, showing up at any public place, but especially a public place where, you know, it could reasonably be assessed that you intend to cause harm to public officials. I figure it's probably always a good idea to reduce our risk of assassination in this country, and that something like that should have a heavier punishment. Whatever his intent, whatever he wanted to, quote, talk to the governor about, the message should still be out there that if you show up with guns in certain places, you're going to be in a lot more hot water than you would be if the people who take the Second Amendment to extremes had their way, where we'd be the Wild West and everybody would be carrying guns all the time, and the body count in this country would be in the tens of thousands because every little road rage dispute would end in gunfire. And that's no hyperbole, given what the U.S. Supreme Court, what the six right-wing justices ruled late last week about bump stocks, that it's okay by them if machine guns are allowed back on the streets of the United States, then my concern is as justified as it gets. And I would hope that, once again, when more reasonable people are in charge of government, that we take gun safety more seriously and crack down on those who otherwise could be in a position to cause real harm to citizens, to elected officials, and more. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to hear a challenge to Governor Evers' partial veto powers, specifically one partial veto that increased school funding in Wisconsin schools for the next 400 years, which clearly was not the intent of the bill, but a governor has certain line item veto powers. And the way that Governor Evers took care of a bill that would raise state assistance per student, he took that language and vetoed a couple of digits, and so that the increase in student aid, instead of ending in 2023-24 and 2024-25, by striking the numbers just so, the increase in school aid will run until the year 2425. Now, the funny thing is, the governor's line item veto powers have been reduced a couple of different times over the past 25 years or so. And yet, as we see in this bill as well, there are still ways that a governor can craft a bill that, shall we say, is creative. Doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. And again, the legislature, but first the state Supreme Court, will have to wrestle with, is that what we want? Now, in Evers' case, obviously, there are many ways where his line item veto has been used in a way that is beneficial to the state. But again, as we discovered, certainly with Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson before that, there are ways to creatively veto a bill that so wildly, you know, pervert legislative intent as to be harmful. Now, I don't know what this state Supreme Court is going to do, it being led by progressives now. Are they going to say, hey, whatever Tony Evers wants to do is fine? Or are they going to say, okay, now that we're in charge, let's set a reasonable standard on what a governor's line item veto power should be? Whatever it is, I hope we come to some kind of resolution, because this line item veto showdown between a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor is causing real harm. Republican legislators have the ability to try to override a governor's veto, even a line item veto. They can get together, and if they can get two-thirds of the assembly and two-thirds of the Senate to say, yep, what the governor did is so egregious, we're going to overrule it, then fine. But if you don't have the votes, you don't have the votes. And state law lets the governor make these vetoes, so stop being crybabies about it. But because certain legislators are, to be blunt, being crybabies about it, they continue to sit on $125 million in money that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin. They are sitting on $15 million that has already been approved to deal with the healthcare crisis in western Wisconsin caused by the closure of two hospitals. And Republicans are sitting on $50 million that could go toward improving reading and literacy in Wisconsin schools. In each guest, we've had guests on to come on and talk about the impact of that. And in each case, as we've made clear, this isn't new money. This is money the legislature, run by Republicans, has approved in bills the governor has signed, but legislative leadership is claiming a power to be able to withhold the money because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes on all three of those bills. To which the proper legal response is, too bad. But Republicans are continue to hold the money. And now we're waiting for the state Supreme Court to decide the case I just outlined for you and others that are pending so that Republican lawmakers can stop being obstructionists and actually carry on with the business of the state. All right, I started the segment talking about Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer campaigning on behalf of President Biden with Governor Evers. And we'll wrap things up with one other story, this one out of Michigan. But it deals with that Enbridge pipeline, which also runs through northern Wisconsin. This is an oil pipeline owned by Enbridge, and it runs from Canada to Canada, but does so through Wisconsin, Michigan, and underneath one of the straits in the Great Lakes. People in both states have been trying to shut down or reroute the pipeline. In Michigan, the Attorney General has filed a lawsuit seeking to shut down part of that petroleum pipeline. And a federal court ruled on Monday that it is a lawsuit that belongs in state court. And that's been part of the holdup, is who should be hearing these lawsuits. Are they a state court matter? Are they a federal court matter? Enbridge believes it's a federal court matter. They think that they will get a friendlier outcome as they talk about essentially international commerce because of a pipeline that runs, you know, through one country on its way to another. Others are saying this belongs in state court because it's a state matter. If this pipeline ruptures in Wisconsin or Michigan, it's going to cause problems here. And this really doesn't deal with international commerce because, again, the pipeline starts in Canada and ends in Canada. So in Michigan, the Attorney General has now successfully been able to bring that case back to state court. In Wisconsin, on the other hand, you've got a legal dispute about the Enbridge Line 5 running across the Bad River Band of Lake Superior's reservation. A federal judge in Wisconsin last summer gave Enbridge 3 years to shut down the part of Line 5 that runs through the Bad River Reservation. The company has proposed, well, we'll simply reroute the pipeline around the reservation, but it will still be crossing the Bad River watershed in ways that a pipeline spill could be immensely harmful to clean water and natural resources in northern Wisconsin. So as far as that federal judge in Wisconsin ordering Enbridge to shut the pipeline down in the next 3 years, the company has appealed that to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. So that case remains pending. So two different courts, one federal case in Wisconsin, one in Michigan is now going to be a state case, continuing to make the case that this pipeline, which is already about 6 decades old and not getting in any better shape, is dangerous, its condition is worsening, and that the longer these legal cases last, the more we're risking another massive pipeline rupture, such as was seen in Michigan a few years ago. It's just a question of whether it happens on the Bad River or does it happen in the Mackinac Strait and endangers the health of the Great Lakes or somewhere in between. So we will follow that story in both of its instances, federal court and state court, Wisconsin and Michigan, to try to help you stay in touch with whether the Enbridge pipeline is going to be rerouted or if it's finally going to be shut down. We'll have today's history lesson on the way. I believe Dr. Lyerly is going to join us. We'll talk about a birthday for Paul McCartney and so much more on today's calendar coming up in just a little bit. This is Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin.
But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam fell in love in the 1930s, but they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known maybe Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
The Shaw, WAUK.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
This is Tommy Hunt, a member of the Flamingos. Flamingos were a 2001 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. Tommy Hunt was born this day in 1933, making him 91 years old today. Happy birthday to Tommy Hunt, who gives us a little bit more of I Only Have Eyes for You, the Flamingos' 1959 remake.
I don't know if it's cloudy or
I know some people would go with the Art Garfunkel version from the mid-70s, but I think this is the definitive one. Kristen Lyerly and Luke, Kristen Lyerly and Luke Mathers are with us. Shabop, shabop. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It is rainy and gloomy where I am right now. How's the weather for you, Pat?
Sunny and breezy and lovely, and things are growing like crazy, including Luke. He's growing with pride as he sits in that new studio in Madison.
That's fair. I have a growing puppy. That's what I have. That's growing. The garden's not doing so well, but the puppy, she's growing very fast.
Oh, let's do garden talk. Can we do the Pat Kreitler version of garden talk right now?
Of garden talk? Sure. Go. What do you want to know?
Luke, what's your question?
For Pat, why does he hate zucchini so much?
And so we come back to the very first week of this show. That's when I knew that this wasn't going to be all smooth sailing, my first week, and Luke Mathers is my board operator, and I make some comment to try to bond with the audience, because if there's one thing that 99.5% of Americans agree on, it's that zucchini is a weed and has no business being eaten, and Luke Mathers immediately says no, that there are actually more people that like zucchini, and he was...
It's so good.
I just don't...
Talking about the grill, Pat, I'll throw some, take a little olive oil, your seasonings of choice, some paprika, maybe a little Northwoods Fire is this spice blend from Penzies that's really good. I like to put that on some of my vegetables and then grill them up. Oh, so good.
But then, I mean, I know that there is a scrap metal drive nearby because I would then have to take the grill out there once the zucchini's on it. But, to each their own. I understand. Born this day in 1913, Sammy Kahn, the composer, you definitely know one holiday song he wrote the lyrics to. He's the one that wrote Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. But Kahn also wrote the lyrics to a bunch of Broadway and movie tunes, many made famous or covered by Frank Sinatra, including Love and Marriage, Call Me Irresponsible, Love is the Tender Trap, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, My Kind of Town Chicago, and this one, my favorite Sammy Kahn tune.
Come fly with me, we'll fly away.
This one from maybe the best album ever made, Sinatra with Count Basie, Live at the Sands, I think 1967. On this day in 1983, Sally Ride became the first American woman in space, speaking of Come Fly With Me. Susan B. Anthony was fined $100 for the crime of attempting to vote in the 1872 presidential election. on this day in 1873. I know. Yeah, you
on
guessed.
On this day in 2024.
Yeah, I was going to say, you gasped, but don't think those days aren't on the minds of somebody else who'd like to maybe bring them back. Mm-hmm. Let's see, the number one song this day in 1977 was by Fleetwood Mac. at least I think it's Fleetwood Mac. It could be a guy on a skateboard. And he's taking a drink of his cranberry juice right now, getting set to lip sync in what would become a viral video. I remember having to look that video up yesterday thinking, because I don't know that I'd even heard of TikTok until that guy did the little viral video where he's singing along to this.
It might have been one of the first viral TikToks, I think. It may have been one of the first TikToks that went as far as it did.
Right. And it was funny. It was funny.
Look at how far you've come, Pat, with your TikTok presence. If y'all don't follow Pat on TikTok, you should.
And Pat, just to correct the record, the Live at the Sands was recorded in 1966. Just want to make it, not 67.
Thank you very much. I always appreciate that. Columbia Records introduced the long playing record album on this day in 1948. Let's see. Nathan Morris, founding member of Boyz II Men, is 53 today. And we've mentioned a couple times that Paul McCartney has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Sir Paul. 82 years old today. He's written so many amazing songs for the Beatles, for Wings, for himself. The man can do no wrong, it seems. Maybe once. Maybe one or two of them are clunkers. What do you think?
I'm not going to go out there and say that Paul McCartney's got any clunkers.
Are you going to play the clunker or not?
I don't know what you're referring to. Oh, okay, fine. The one that you queued up, fine.
There we go. Again, sadly, Greg Bach not here to give an evil laugh as he plays this, but
I try to do it in my own special.
There was this one and Michelle by the Beatles. Other than that, everything else Paul McCartney wrote was spot on, was beautiful.
You know, he's queuing up for a tour.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay, good for him. And
I wonder if
he'll
open with "It's a Wonderful." Christmas. I wonder.
And maybe dedicated to me. Yes.
Is it a December tour? Who knows? He might include it.
Yeah.
Does it matter? No. It doesn't matter.
No, we just played it here in June. Yeah. Just...
Absolutely. One more birthday. Blake Shelton is 48 years old today.
Well, the boys around here don't listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Cephas through a jukebox.
See, they don't listen to the Beatles either. It's just not universal about Sir Paul. Today is, there's a weird theme on the National Day calendar here. It's International Sushi Day. It's National Fishing Day.
Ooh.
It's National Clean Your Aquarium Day. I'm not sure those three things should really go together. I don't want my sushi coming from a dirty aquarium. This is also International Picnic Day. This is Cherry Tart Day. This is National Splurge Day. We've talked about it a bit before, and we'll address it in the next hour. And finally, this is Wear Blue Day. It is all about discussing health issues for men. That's because men tend to avoid regular health checkups. They are unaware of many ailments. So we try to decrease the number of diseases in men by promoting regular checkups. Even an OBGYN like Kristen Lyerly would agree.
Let's go, guys. Let's get on the phone and make that routine preventive care appointment right now. This is the day to do it.
Listen to your favorite obstetrician gynecologist.
Yes.
Men. And call the doctor up. Schedule something and they say, well, why are you calling us? Why are you scheduling? Because my favorite gynecologist said so.
Just say that.
And then just wait for the reaction. More news ahead in our second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio joins us at 10:33 in the 11 o'clock hour, a round of the good, the bad, and please tell me that's not true. Join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Psst, hey you. Yeah, you with the hungry belly. It's time to feed that grumbling beast. Picture this. You stumble over to Taco Jalisco in Waukesha and bam, delicious seafood dishes with choice potato or rice and beans that'll make your taste buds sing. Taco Jalisco's got you covered with tacos so tasty they'll make your grandma do a somersault. Open 10 a.m. Monday through Friday and... Order online at taco-jalisco.com. Don't believe me? Check out the Fiesta of Flavors yourself at Taco Jalisco at 801 Westmoreland Boulevard in Waukesha.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.